that have this.
So there you had Riley Gaines speaking this weekend at a TPUSA event, showing off her baby bump, which was incredibly exciting to see, exciting for her, but a pioneer in advocating for girls. She is now expecting a girl. And what we need is more people like Riley Gaines who are willing to say the obvious things on behalf of our young women who are competing and wanting to do so fairly. And yet another one of those individuals, Michelle Tafoya, joins us now, host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Go to MichelleTafoya.com. Michelle, thank you for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Oh, it's good talking to you.
So, thank you. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts. Last week, we had the Riley Gaines, Simone Biles dust up a little bit. It seemed like Simone came out of nowhere to pick a fight that she inevitably was absolutely going to lose. What do you think that we learned as consumers of media, and certainly X, in watching Simone Biles handle that the way she did and Riley Gaines' grace in pushing back?
Yeah, Riley Gaines, it's hard to overstate just how well she makes her arguments and how calm she is when she produces those arguments. I admire her because she's so young. You don't think that someone that young would have the poise, the smarts, the wisdom, the ability to deliver the way she does time and time again, and yet she does, and she doesn't run scared from anybody. She's fearless. I first met Riley right when she started her crusade, and she and I have kept in good touch over the years. So I just admire that about her. It was surprising from Simone, although her stance was not shocking, but the way that she lashed out and called Riley truly sick and a sore loser was stunning to me, to the point where I thought, is she going to come back and claim that she got hacked? Was she not in her right mind when she did this? This is not on brand for her. Maybe it's on brand to be a social justice warrior, to be a little bit left of center, to be a little woke. But this went way too far in the way that she lashed out. And I don't think her quote unquote apology won many people back to her side.
I agree with you. It was like, this is the minimum amount that you can say you regret. So you're saying you made a mistake in publicly saying it. It doesn't sound like you really disagree with your statement to begin with. It's unfortunate that you made it public. I wonder what you think about, of course, Riley Gaines was kind of paving the way because she herself is a swimmer at Kentucky, competed against a male and lost because of that. She experienced this firsthand. Riley Gaines did. Yeah. But we need other people that are like average Janes, average Joes, men and women alike across the country, locally saying enough of this men and women's sports. Are you seeing that happen?
It's slowly happening. You know, we've had Aaron Rodgers come out in an interview, but I have also seen firsthand people say, you know what, I don't want to go public with my thoughts on that because I've got branding issues to consider. Well, I would say, reconsider who you're affiliating yourself with brand-wise if you're concerned about stating the obvious, that this is simply unfair. You know, it's interesting, too, someone like Martina Navratilova, very left of center, I mean lefty, but on this issue, she is right down the common sense lane. So when Simone Biles comes out with this term competitive equity, those are two totally, it's nonsense. Those two terms are at odds, completely at odds. In competition, as Simone well knows, somebody wins and somebody doesn't. So you can't just say there's room for everyone, because certainly at the Olympic level, there's not. And, sports in general, everyone wants to be inclusive and not hurt people's feelings. That's fine. No one is saying that trans people can't compete. But guess what? If you're chromosomally XX, you compete with the women. If you're XY, you compete with the men. If you want to start your own category, you can. But that furthers the fiction that there is this third gender category. And there's just not, scientifically, for those who always say, believe the science, it's just not true. Yeah. So Yes, slowly but surely, to answer your first question, more people are coming to the fore. Some of us have been very vocal, Jennifer Say, Sage Steele, Riley Gaines, Megyn Kelly. But you're right, we need girls stepping away from competition if they have to, if there's a biological boy competing against them. It's really unfortunate that you have to suggest that, but you can't go along with the charade.
Yeah, it's completely true. We have to speak out. We can't be, there's so many people who are willing to be quiet because they're trying to be nice. The left has very much so labeled people, tried to cancel people, and you become every phobic or hateful word that they can come up with. So people are quiet.
Correct.
I think Donald Trump has really busted through that wall and given people kind of the permission to speak out and speak truth and not care what other people think about it.
I think he did that starting in 2016, his first go around. I think he did. And then, yes. And I think people are feeling a little bit more brave. But when it comes to, worrying about if you're affiliated with a bank or a company that sells whiskey, or and that if you speak out on this, that you're going to get hit. I think the opposite has been proven true. I mean, we saw with Bud Light, that company took a massive hit when they used Dylan Mulvaney in their advertising. I think that, you've got to understand that the vast majority, some people say this is an 80-20 issue. Annie, I think it's more like 95-90. If you really ask people what they really felt, I think it's 95-90. Boys should not be competing with girls.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that completely. Michelle Tafoy is speaking with us right now. I wanted to ask you a little bit. We saw Caitlin Clark back on the floor against the Liberty. Now, I can speak more about the WNBA in actual, understanding, because I've consumed it as a sports fan now than I ever have before. I played girls basketball through my senior year of high school. And Michelle, when I played basketball, I graduated in 2002. Nobody cared about girls basketball like it was, and they didn't care about it to the extent that they wouldn't even comment on it. Like if there were some comments, a lot of times they were kind of crude and sexist, but girls just played. We wanted the opportunity to compete. We wanted to be able to go out on the floor to learn what it was like to fail and succeed together as a team, to improve ourselves. That's what girls wanted when I was growing up. Now Caitlin Clark comes onto the scene, and people care. They're complimenting her, they're criticizing her, but they care enough to comment. What are your thoughts on Caitlin Clark now that she's got a year under her belt in the WNBA, what she has done for women's sports?
Well, let me sidetrack for a second and say that Reggie Miller and I were a broadcast team on the WNBA from the league's first inception, and worked together for several years covering the WNBA. He was the analyst, I was the play-by-play person, and it was a lot of fun. Remember that he is the brother of one of the pioneers of women's basketball, Cheryl Miller.
Yeah.
So there were some people who saw Cheryl Miller in LA when she was in high school and then in college who were like, whoa. And then we had Lisa Leslie and Rebecca Lobo and the UConn dynasties. Now, maybe still in the high school level, people weren't as into it. Then you get this Caitlin Clark, and she is a phenom. And when she, her performance against the Liberty, just get across midcourt and launch it from the logo. It's incredible what she's doing. It's incredible the consistency with what she's doing. And I love seeing her teammates rally around her. She has single-handedly raised the league to another level, raised the sport to another level. And I was one of those people who was apoplectic when they left her off the Olympic team for Paris. Because what a missed opportunity. I mean, they got viewers, but imagine if Caitlin had been on that team. The viewership would have been double at least. So it's going to be fun to watch her in L.A., assuming she's on the team in L.A. She's brought a whole new feel to that league because she's a generational talent with skill that we've never seen in the women's game before.
Mm. Do you think that, I think she's masterful at how she sees all of the political noise coming at her. She just kind of creates a barrier for herself. She doesn't feel the need to combat it. She just knows that it's there, and she's like, I'm just here to play basketball. Is she a political figure in our time, even if she's unwillingly so?
Well, I think she dipped her toe into it when she started talking about the fact that she felt she had white privilege and that, she wanted to make sure she brought attention to all the black women who built the game. And she said something, and I'm going to sort of go over it lightly here, what she said, because I don't have her exact words in front of me, but she said something to the effect of, I've worked really hard and I feel I earn what I have, but she didn't need to say but. She has worked her ass off and she's earned everything that she has. Period. Full stop. It's not her fault that she is white. Now, what she's bringing is a bunch of eyeballs who are learning about a bunch of other players. I'll point out that the top three players in the top three paid players in the WNBA are all African-American. They're black women. And that's awesome. And they deserve every penny they're getting. I don't think people like Paige Bueckers and Caitlin need to apologize for being white and acknowledge their white privilege, because I just, that to me exacerbates the problem. It just keeps drawing attention to this differentiation. Hey, just be part of the league. Just be a player. Just be a woman. Just be who you are, a superior talent. But Caitlin does do a good job. That's where I've been critical of both her and Paige, in their kind of acknowledgement of their white privilege. They don't need to do that. I pray for the day that that ends. Just be themselves on the court. Be the players that they are, and that is enough. And I understand them wanting to support their teammates and women throughout the league. That's fine, but we've been doing that for years. It's just that they don't really read their history and know that.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think she's done a really good job of handling the pressure, because there's so much pressure. That slip up there, I always try to focus on the first part. She did say she didn't feel bad for being white, and she said she did, or she also mentioned that she felt like she earned everything that she got.
Yeah,
so,
she did. Yeah.
So it's kind of, she's doing the best she can. Well, Michelle, we appreciate you. We love that you speak out so consistently on behalf of girls, and I want other people to hear that voice and feel emboldened to do the same. So thanks for doing that with us here on our show today.
Anytime, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. Michelle Tafoya is the host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Spent a lot of years in sports, not just women's sports, but she knows a lot about what is going on athletic fields across the country. She's wonderful and great to have her on the show with us. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, the Monday roundup. Everything that you missed this weekend that Ryan thinks you should need to know. Is that... it's a fair assessment.
I don't know. It's kind of localizing it to me too much when really this is everything you need to know.
The segment is called Wiggins America.
And I'm fine with that too.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.